Side of Sports with Sunny Young, and happy Wednesday, Sunny.
Happy Wednesday to you, Kim.
Well, Sunny, I understand you are kicking off with, once again, African football.
Kim, joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is David Legg, our African football guru. Good evening, David.
Thank you, Sunny.
David, big week in African football. 40 national teams playing first leg fixtures in the qualifying competition for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. On Wednesday evening, two matches, one in Mozambique and the other in Sudan. Mozambique hosting Gabon and Sudan playing the 2012 Nations Cup champion Zambia. How do you see these matches, David?
Well, the one in Mozambique is going to be interesting, Sunny, because we've got Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Now, on the Sunny Side of Sport, we're always talking about the goals he's scoring in the Bundesliga, 14 already this season, an amazing achievement. And now he's going to be wearing the colors of the national team of Gabon. They're known as the Panthers. They're in Maputo to play a Mozambican side that have not been doing particularly well recently. If you use the recent Cup of Nations as a yardstick, Sunny, they lost at home to Rwanda, and then they lost away to Mauritius. Now, that is unimpressive form indeed. Whatever the results in Maputo of the first leg, I think over the two legs, I would certainly expect Gabon to qualify on goal aggregate. And particular interest, I think, will be in the performance of Aubameyang. We've seen sometimes in the past players doing very well in Europe, and then they just don't shine with their national team. And on the other hand, some players, of course, not doing particularly well in Europe. They come and play for the national team and do extremely well. But Aubameyang's got a good record, both for Borussia Dortmund in his club career and also for Gabon. He scores the majority of the Gabonese goals, so we'll watch him with interest. The other match, Sunny, Zambia way up in Sudan. Now, as I speak to you, there's an absolute heat wave in South Africa with temperatures touching 100 degrees Fahrenheit. One thing I know about Sudan, a phrase I often use to describe Khartoum, is sauna-like. I know it's steaming up there, and you'd never play football during the day. They only play football at night. It's unfortunate because what it means is a lot of extra expenses with floodlights, etc. But it would be humanly impossible to play in Sudan in the middle of the day. So that's going to be a bit of a challenge for Zambia. But Sudan, like Mozambique, have not been doing well of late, despite the fact that their two best clubs, Al Hilal and Al Merrikh, did very well in the just completed CAF Champions League. They both reached the semi-finals, and many of the best players from both clubs will no doubt be in the national squad. But again, Sunny, looking at this over two legs, and all these matches are home and away affairs, you would certainly have to fancy the Zambian. Zambian side struggling to match the expectations that were raised by what you mentioned, that famous 2012 Cup of Nations success. Since then, it's been a little bit downhill for the Chipolopolo, which translated means the copper bullets. Those bullets have been firing since, Sunny, but not with the same accuracy. Nevertheless, I'm predicting with reasonable confidence that it will be Gabon and Zambia over the two legs who will win these ties. Interesting to look at the rankings of the sides. The difference between Gabon and Mozambique is 52 places on the world rankings in favor of the Gabonese. And it's even wider between Zambia and Sudan. Zambia are 57 places higher. So according to me, Sunny, which is most important, and also according to the FIFA rankings, it's going to be Gabon and Zambia. If I get either of those wrong, it's going to be an awful lot of omelette flying towards me.
David, what do Thursday's 2018 World Cup qualifiers look like in Africa?
On Thursday, Sunny, we've got five matches. We've got Burundi at home to DR Congo, Namibia at home to Guinea, Benin at home to Burkina Faso, Togo at home to Uganda, and I can think of at least one Voice of America staffer who'll be following that match with great interest. And Morocco at home to Equatorial Guinea. And let's look at all five matches, Sunny. Well, Burundi against DR Congo, that's a real Central African battle. You would fancy DR Congo, again, I stress, over two legs. What home advantage does for the underdogs in the first leg, it gives them a chance to create a shock and build some sort of a lead going into the return match. But surely over two legs, I think the Congolese will be too strong for the Burundians. Namibia and Guinea, I think it's the same story, Sonny. You would have to fancy Guinea here. Namibia won the Southern Africa Championship last May, and there were high hopes that they would do well, but since then, they haven't really been able to build on that success. They lost away to Niger and at home to Senegal in Cup of Nations qualifiers. Guinea, they haven't been setting the world alight either. They suffered a shock home defeat in Casablanca. They play there because of the Ebola epidemic, to Swaziland. And then they went to Harare, took the lead against Zimbabwe, and then conceded a very soft goal for a 1-1 draw. But nevertheless, I stress over two legs, one would fancy the Guineans, who are 65 places above the Namibians on the world rankings. And just briefly going back to the Congo-Burundi game, Congo 52 places higher than the Burundians. There are, however, some matches where the rankings indicate a real closeness. And one of those is Benin against Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso are only 10 places higher than Benin. And this West African showdown, Burkina Faso have not been doing particularly well of late. You know, we talked about Zambia, Sunny, not building on their 2012 Cup of Nations success. Exactly the same comments apply to Burkina Faso, who stunned everybody, me especially, by reaching the 2013 Cup of Nations final. They came into that tournament with an awful record. You assumed that they were going to be knocked out after the first round. But lo and behold, they went all the way to the final. And in the final, they gave the Super Eagles of Nigeria a good run for their money. A lone goal scored by Sunday Mbah just before halftime, giving the Super Eagles victory. So again, there were expectations that Burkina Faso would build on that. And sure enough, in the World Cup qualifiers that followed, they got all the way to the playoffs before losing on the away goal rule to Algeria, who turned out to be the best African performers at the 2014 World Cup. So things were looking rosy for Burkina Faso. But all of a sudden, it's all gone a bit pear-shaped. And I'm giving them the edge over Burkina Faso, but I'm doing it, Sunny, with a little bit of hesitancy. I think this one is going to be tight. Now, we mentioned Togo and Uganda, and Uganda, of course, I'm sure Douglas is listening, Sonny. He probably doesn't need much reminding that Uganda have not reached the Cup of Nations since 1978. And their latest attempt, Sonny, was going quite well for the 2015 finals until they came up against the Togolese. The Togolese went to Kampala. They won there. The sides met again in Lome, and Togo won again. So to put it mildly, the Ugandans have a lot of revenge to catch up on when they face the Togolese Sparrowhawks. Togo are no great shakes, and at the moment their star player, Emmanuel Adebayor, is in one of his regular retirement phases. He retires and comes back, then he retires again and comes back again. And at the moment, it's a very sad story, Sonny. He's a talented footballer. He's a former African Footballer of the Year, but he fell out badly at Tottenham Hotspur, and eventually they basically just kicked him out of the club. And it seems as if nobody wants to touch this player. I think the view is he's got a lot of talent, but he's just too much trouble. And he has his own issues, which he has spoken about on social media. But for the moment, anyway, he's not part of the Togolese setup. And I'm going to give the vote this time, Sonny, to Uganda. I think as long as they can get a good result in Lome, I think it's expecting too much maybe for the Cranes to win there, but perhaps a score draw, that would be a satisfactory result, and put them in good fettle for the return match in Kampala. Morocco and Equatorial Guinea is an interesting tie because it brings together the side that should have hosted the 2015 Cup of Nations and the side that actually did. Now, what happened is Morocco, a long time ago, were chosen to host the Cup of Nations, but getting close to the event itself, which happened last January and February, they got cold feet. And their big concern was that some supporters from some of the qualifying countries could have brought the Ebola epidemic into the country. And that, apart from the human issue, Sonny, would have wreaked havoc with tourism. Now, in Morocco, as in most North African countries, tourism is a vital part of the economy. We're seeing the effects of problems in Tunisia and more recently in Egypt, where tourism is, I cannot stress how important it is. And the Moroccans clearly decided that the tourist industry was more vital even than a football tournament. So they pulled out and they got suspended. And then at the last minute, with just 60 days to go to the kickoff, Equatorial Guinea came to the rescue. So I think there's going to be an interesting bite to this match. And this is another game with just 10 places between the teams. Equatorial Guinea are ranked 69th in the world and Morocco 79th. And that shows you that the Moroccans have dropped off quite a bit. They are, after all, a team that have qualified four times for the World Cup. So from those Thursday matches, looking at the ties over two legs, I'm going for DR Congo, Guinea, Burkina Faso, Uganda, and Morocco.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of Liberia-born Darlington Nagbe of Major League Soccer's Portland Timbers Club. Darlington became a U.S. citizen in September, and the USA's German coach, Jurgen Klinsmann, quickly took note of that. He named Nagbe to his squad for upcoming World Cup qualifiers against St. Vincent and the Grenadines and Trinidad and Tobago. Darlington Nagbe, congratulations to being on the U.S. men's national soccer team. In more Major League Soccer news, Orlando City striker Kyle Larin has been named the Rookie of the Year. The 20-year-old Canadian scored a MLS rookie record 17 goals in 27 matches during the regular season for Orlando City, which is one of the league's new expansion clubs. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Hayes Wuhib.